serve. Amen. Again, it is a great blessing for me to be with you here on this Labor Day weekend. Good to see so many people in church. This is not my official visit, so you'll see me again relatively soon. But as we are settling a daughter at Stuart Hall, this worked out really well for me to be with you, and I'll be around Stanton a bit more. This Sunday, we follow right on with Jesus' teaching Peter and the disciples about what it really means for them to be his body in the world. This is a lesson on discipleship. Last Sunday, Peter's confession that Jesus was the Messiah is the right answer. Now we hear him make the wrong answer. He and the others are missing the bigger picture, just like us sometimes. Jesus says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. What on earth are you talking about, Jesus? These words of Jesus's, if we are honest, fall hard on our ears. Deny self, take up a cross, lose your life. Sounds a lot more like lessons for Lent than a Sunday fall morning. Imagine if we might take those words and use them, say, in visitors' materials in our parishes. I wonder how many newcomers would stick around. There is a Jewish rabbinical teaching that says, we become part of God's unity, which is eternal, only by forgetfulness of self. Only by forgetfulness of self. Forgetfulness of self brings us close to the heart of what Jesus is teaching about discipleship this morning. The challenge of this kind of self-sacrificing discipleship is highlighted in Peter's responses, right? Last week, Peter was quick to say and to confess that Jesus is the Messiah. You're the man. But then when Jesus begins speaking about self-sacrifice, well, then Peter wonders aloud if perhaps there is, you know, plan B. If there's not another easier way, God forbid, he says. Sundar Singh was born in India in 1889 to a Sikh family. Shortly after his mother's death, when he was a teenager, he converted to Christianity in the Anglican Church, of course. He became, for the rest of his life, a missionary for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a very devout, traveling ministry. His faithful journey is an interesting one. You might Google it later and learn a little bit more about Sundar Singh. But there's a story about him when he was hiking in the coldest part of the winter in the Himalayan mountains with another companion. And at one point they came across a man who had collapsed in the snow. He wasn't dead, but he was not in good shape. And Sundar Singh decided to stay and help this unfortunate man, but his companion refused to stay and decided to go on. We shall lose our lives if we burden ourselves with him, he told Sundar Singh. That is not bad advice because it is treacherous in the Himalayas at that time of the year, but Sundar Singh would not think of leaving the man to die in the ice and the snow. And so what he did as this guy, his companion went on, is he lifted the poor traveler onto his back after giving him water and some sustenance. And with great exertion on his part, he carried him. And the heat of his body started to warm the other man as they sat together on the way. The man began to revive. And a day later, they were walking together, side by side. And they caught up with his former companion and found him dead, frozen by the cold. Self-sacrificing discipleship. Being together is better than going it alone. See, Jesus is calling us, the community of faith, into an examination of ourselves, our motives. And the lesson is a tough one. It is the path of being a disciple. Disciples form and build each other into communities of love. Those who will not pattern their life after the example, the gospel, Jesus says, will lose that life. Those communities that seek to follow Christ must make his story central to their life, central to their daily living, both as individuals and as communities of faith. So what story are we really living? You know, there is our ordinary, everyday, self-centered understanding about who we are, and then there is our true self, who we really are, those created in the image of God, children of God. We are lawyers, teachers, business people. We went to school there. We live here. We drive this. This is the ordinary, everyday self. It's what we do. Our true self, as unique children of God, is about who we are deep down. Our true self is what Jesus was pushing them to discover and us to discover. This is how we find center or balance to all of the other things that we do. The Greek word used for life is like soul, the true self, the living self. The New English Bible translates this verse this way. Listen to it. What does a person gain by winning the whole world at the cost of his true self? What can he give to buy back that self? What can he give to buy back that self? These are questions that each of us should spend some time with. They are central questions to the spiritual journey. So when Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" my answer must first include honesty. You know, real, sober honesty about who I really am. I have to have the courage to be honest about how I'm living out my days. What are my priorities? And I have to be honest about how I am following Christ with the strength of my life, my heart, my soul, my mind. What part of my journey is sacrificial? What sacrifices are we willing to make together as the community of faith? Peter can proclaim Jesus as Messiah, but he's not prepared. And neither are we, really, if we're honest, for the difficult and inconvenient roads the gospel mission might lead us into. And so we hedge a bit. If we're real honest, what we really want is certainty, right? Convenience, safety. We, like Peter, would prefer to go around the crosses of our lives than through them. We prefer to concentrate on our many ordinary selves and not our true selves. Easier to find distraction than to get real. As communities of faith, we can get stuck, right, in old patterns. I'm sure that never happens here, but it does happen in other churches. We avoid significant change. We dodge around it. We put it off to the next vestry meeting or the next season. What would it take to spend more time in reflection and prayer as individuals and as communities, thinking about who we truly are and who God is calling us to be next? What do we fear by looking too long or too deeply at ourselves, praying too long in quiet? Thomas Keating, a Cistercian monk and the founder of the Centering Prayer movement, some of you may know Centering Prayer, in his book Intimacy with God writes this: growth is the challenge of the gospel of Christ. Growth is the challenge of the gospel of Christ. The great sin in the New Testament is to refuse to grow and to choose to stay as we are. The spiritual life is dynamic, Keating explains. The Holy Spirit keeps inviting us to new levels of surrender, faith, and love. The Holy Spirit keeps inviting us to new levels of surrender, faith, and love. Wonderful. It's true of us as individuals, and it's true of us communities who seek to follow Christ. Growth. Growth towards our true selves is the path we follow in Jesus Christ. I have a little button on my on my bookcase, it says, "It's easier to be born again than to grow up." Following Christ is a kind of forgetfulness of our usual self-absorption. So we grow. That's what this season of green is about. Following Jesus Christ is to continue to grow in the knowledge of our true selves as the loved children of God, and then grow in our compassion and mission, ever expanding out to our neighbors. Jesus' words this morning, especially on a morning as nice as this one, are not easy and they're not convenient. Discipleship in his name takes courage and constant, unceasing prayer. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Amen.